Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Please open with me in your Bible to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 37, Psalm 37. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Psalm number 37 and verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse number 5 is where we want to go. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray this morning that you would give us the understanding of your word and how that it is to impact our lives. I pray that you would also give us today a practical understanding of your word so that we see daily how that this scripture is to become a part of who we are and how that we live. I ask you this morning for the unction of the Holy Spirit who inspired the scripture to speak to my heart and speak through me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, we announced on our Vision Sunday our key word for the year 2024. I believe that it helps us to better focus and have a greater sense of clarity and motivation as we serve the Lord if we have a phrase or even a key word to direct us and keep us on track for the coming year. And our watchword or our theme for the year 2024 is the word committed. You see it on the screen behind me here. It comes from the text here that we find in Psalm number 37, verse number 5. I went through the concordance and I looked up all of the scriptures that use the word commit or committed or any form of that in the scripture. And I found out that it's used, if I counted correctly, 88 times in the Bible. And so it must be important for the Lord to speak to us that many times about this particular theme, about being committed and what we're to be committed to and what a difference it makes in our lives. Last week we talked about the defining or the definition of commitment. What does it mean? And we looked at the dictionary definition, meaning to roll upon or to surrender, to yield or to relinquish. We looked at the example of the word, which to me is sometimes more helpful if I can see how it's done. It somehow identifies better with me. And we turned to the book of Acts, chapter 27, and we looked at how that the sailors committed the vessel during the storm. They committed the ship to the wind. And we found out there that commitment for the sailors meant first they lightened the ship. They lightened the ship of the things that were not necessary. Things that they thought before they couldn't do without, but they got in the midst of a storm and they found out we can do without that. And they committed themselves to the wind, to be driven by the wind. We found out also that it involved the taking up of anchors in Acts 27 and verse number 40. We found out that anchors are pictures of stubbornness in our life. They're pictures of obstinance in our life. When God is dealing with us and we are resisting God's dealing, We are not submissive to what God is moving us to do or to say or how that God wants to use us there. They took up the anchors. Also, the scripture says that they loosed the rudder bands. The rudder bands were the part of the ship that control the steering. And in the beginning of the storm, the rudders had been tied off so that they were inactive. They could not be used. But we found out that then when they committed the ship to the wind there, they loosed the rudder bands. In other words, they allowed the great captain of the ship then to guide the ship using the blowing of the wind there and using the rudders there to work with the guidance of the wind there. They were able to steer the ship toward the shore. And then scripture tells us how they hoisted the main sail and the wind filled them. And we talked about how often that the wind in the scripture is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, remember on Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit filled the disciples, filled those 120 in the upper room. And remember, the result was what God did on the day of Pentecost when thousands were saved and the New Testament church was birthed there. And all this gave us a picture of what it means for you and me if we would commit ourselves to the Lord this year. The scripture gives us certainly the definitions concerning the commitment of ourselves to the Lord. But this morning, I'd like you to see something else. Not only this particular matter of the defining of commitment, but the actual direction of commitment. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, go with me in the New Testament, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter, chapter number 4, because here the Bible talks to us about the direction of our commitment. If members of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe this year in 2024, if we would genuinely, sincerely commit ourselves to the Lord, it'll involve some direction from the Lord. And the scripture talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. If you found your place in your Bible, here's what it says. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, now watch this, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Notice that phrase there, commit the keeping of their souls to Him. If we would commit to the Lord this year first, it's going to involve our very soul. Remember in Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 30, the Lord Jesus was talking about how that we're to love Him. The Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30 that we're to love Him with all of our heart. And we began to analyze that word that's translated into English from the Greek there. The word, the heart, comes to us from a word that means literally here, the seat of our personality. The Lord wants us to love Him with our personality. But Jesus said also we're to love Him with our mind. That is our rational facilities. It's going to involve some study. The scripture says study, talking about the scriptures, study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. And so the Lord says we're to love Him with our heart, we're to love Him with our mind. The scripture says we're to love the Lord with our strength. When it says we're to love the Lord with our strength, that means we're to love Him with outward demonstration. We're not to be secret disciples. We're not to be hidden disciples, but we're to be outward in our service of the Lord, outward demonstration. But then the Lord Jesus added a fourth one there in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30. The Lord Jesus said we're to love Him with our soul. When it speaks of loving the Lord with our soul, literally the Bible is saying that we're to love the Lord with our very breath. The very breath of our lives. The Lord says we're to love Him with our breath, our life, our, if you would call it, our self-conscious life. That's how we're to love the Lord. We're to love Him with our very life. It is not always the occasion, but there are those times when God would ask a Christian literally to lay down his or her life for the cause of Christ. If you are following what is going on in some of the African countries, if you're aware of what's going on in Nigeria this morning, You know what's going on in the Sudan this morning? You realize that there are some Christians there who have been asked by the Lord to lay down their very lives for Christ's sake. For the vast majority, that is not what the Lord asks. But there are those who, when asked of the Lord to make that surrender to the Lord, there are those who have done so. Many of you recognize the name Jim Elliot. You remember in 1956 that Jim Elliot and four other missionaries were in the country of Ecuador, and they had identified an unreached people group, and they went into the jungle. These five men did, went into the hope with the hope of establishing a gospel presence there, where that they could begin to learn the language of those people, and they could translate the scriptures into their language, and they could eventually evangelize them for Jesus Christ. You remember the story of how the missionaries went in, the Alca Indians, after several hours, attacked them. They murdered all five of the missionaries. And of course, you know the books have been written. You remember the wife of Jim Elliot wrote the book Through Gates of Splendor. You remember that a movie was made. We've shown it here, the movie of what happened in the martyrdom of those missionaries, the movie Through Gates of Splendor. You remember that it made headlines in newspapers. It filled articles in magazines. Generations of Christian missionaries have been inspired by the testimony of Jim Elliot and the other four that gave their lives. Those were five lives when the Lord said to commit your very soul. For them, it meant their breath in the sense they laid down their lives. By the way, the giving of their lives, you know, we're told often in history that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And by the way, that people group was reached. The man that literally murdered Jim Elliot eventually came to America with Jim Elliot's wife, and he gave his testimony how that he was won to Christ and how that the blood of Jim Elliot was not wasted. But what many of you do not know was that Jim Elliot had an older brother who was also a missionary. In this case, Jim Elliot's brother, whose name was Bert, was a missionary in the country of Peru. God used Bert Elliot to start a number of churches in Peru and to start a Christian school. As a faithful servant of the Lord, he worked to deliver drug addicts from their addictions. He worked to provide medical care to the needy. And in doing all of this, he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls to the Savior. Day after day, for 62 years, Bert Elliott served the Lord by meeting both the physical and spiritual needs of people in Peru. Interestingly, not one movie was ever made about Bert Elliott. Not one book was ever written about Bert Elliott in his life. His love of his Savior was his only reward. But he was an unsung hero who also died on the mission field. In the year 2012, after 62 years of faithful missionary service, he died of what we would call natural causes in the service of the Lord. Just as his brother had given his last life's breath, so to speak, in Ecuador, the brother Bert also gave his life for the Savior. And rather than being cut short, God's will for his life was that he live a long time on this earth in the service of the Lord. The scripture says that we are to commit our soul to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 19, wherefore let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Do not take the decision to commit your soul to the Lord this year lightly. Do not take it lightly. Do not take following Christ lightly without counting the possible cost. But for most of us, it will not mean laying down our physical life. But nevertheless, God wants us to give him the life of our breath. And then the scripture also, in addition to speaking of committing our soul to the Lord, the scripture speaks of committing our way to the Lord. In our text verse this morning, Psalm 37, verse number 5, the scripture says, commit thy way unto the Lord. If you write in your Bible, I hope that you do, you might underline or circle the word way there. And the word there comes from that Hebrew, which means a road, as a road that is trodden. It means the course of our life, or the path, or our walk. And the question comes before us here as we enter the 2024, will we commit our way unto the Lord? You see, the scripture tells us that there are two ways. There is the way of the world, and there's the way of Christ. John the Apostle tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 17, that the way of the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Bible reminds us not only is there the way of Christ versus the way of the world, there's the way of spiritual pursuits versus the way of carnal pursuits. In Matthew 6 and verse number 33, the Lord Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the other necessary things of life will be added to us. And we're reminded then also that as we commit our way to the Lord, that there is an emphasis in this world on the temporal or the temporary versus that which is eternal. And the Lord, when he challenges us to commit ourselves to him this year, asks us the question, will we commit to things that are eternal, things that will make a difference in eternity, or will we commit our lives to that which will shortly pass away and be gone forever? So the Bible talks to us about these commitments, the commitment of our soul. It talks about the commitment of our way. Go with me, please, just a moment, back to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 16, and look at verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 3. Because the Bible here gives us yet another direction for our committal to the Lord. We commit our soul to the Lord. We commit our way to the Lord. But Proverbs 16, verse 3 says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. When we commit our works to the Lord, we find that means our activities, our labors, our occupations, our transactions. When the scripture says here that we're to commit our works to the Lord, it's speaking of the causes for which we give ourselves, the areas in which we will invest our time and our energy and our treasures and our talents. Our works are to be committed to the Lord. There's a man by the name of Sheldon Jackson. Probably most of us never heard of him until today. Sheldon Jackson was born in the year 1834 in the Mohawk Valley of New York. Something interesting happened when he was a four-year-old child. His mom and dad brought him to church in one of these dedication services, and his mom and dad dedicated Sheldon Jackson to the Lord. When he grew older, he understood the gospel. He trusted Christ as his personal Savior, and he went away to study theology at Princeton University, which at that time was a conservative rather than, as it is now, a liberal school. He studied for the ministry in Princeton University, and then when he graduated, the great Western rush had begun in our nation, and wagon trains were leaving St. Louis daily, and the Golden Spike tied the east to the west in 1866 as the Union Pacific Railway opened. Boom towns arose, and cowboys and mining camps and rowdy saloons and gunfighters filled the frontier. And during this time, Sheldon Jackson answered the call of God to go west, to be a soul winner and a church planter. In the testimony of Sheldon Jackson, so active was he in working to the Lord. I read this and I marvel. In 15 days, he planted 7 New Testament churches. He had committed his works to the Lord. But then when the United States purchased the Alaskan frontier, he sensed the call of God as people were going north, people were going to Alaska there. He determined that the call of God was that he go to Alaska. And there, this man Sheldon Jackson arrived and he established schools for the young. He placed missionaries in the hamlet areas of Alaska. He evangelized, established churches. He brought Bibles to give to Eskimos. And then he became worried that the explorers and exploiters were slaughtering the whales and seals and thereby depriving the Eskimos of natural food supplies. So braving criticism and ridicule, he raised $2,000. Listen to this, dear hunters, you'll appreciate this. He raised $2,000 and he bought reindeer from Siberia and populated the Alaskan frontier with reindeer. And soon great herds were providing transportation, food, clothing, and livelihood for the people. But he was not through because his works were committed to the Lord. Sheldon Jackson, in the course of the remainder of his life, made 26 trips to Alaska. And during the 50 years of his ministry, he traveled an estimated 1 million miles. And he oversaw the establishing, listen to this, of 886 New Testament churches. Few men have ever planted the Christian faith over such a wide area. What was his secret? A friend of Sheldon Jackson commented on the secret to Sheldon Jackson. He said he never hurried, he just persisted. He just persisted. What did he do? He committed his works unto the Lord. One of our challenges at Bible Baptist Church in the year 2024 is to commit ourselves to the Lord. To commit to the Lord our soul. Commit to the Lord our ways. Commit to the Lord our works. Real quickly, turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 55 and verse number 22. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. And Psalm 55 and verse number 22, the Bible tells us there's something else to cast to the Lord in the year 2024. Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And here's the promise, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer or permit the righteous to be moved. We have the blessed privilege in the year 2024 to cast our burden to the Lord. What does that word mean here in verse number 22, the word burden? I studied that word. It comes from the Hebrew. Our burden literally means that which is your load, that you feel to be your responsibility. It includes those things that bring sorrow to your heart. All of these are to be committed to the Lord. And interestingly, this word cast here is very similar to the word commit. It literally means to hurl or to throw down. We take those things, we take our burdens, and we literally throw them down before the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, this is greater than I am. Lord, I must have your intervention. I must have your strength. Lord, I must have your power. I must have your mercy. I must have your grace, Lord, in order to do this. The scripture says we have the privilege to cast our burdens upon the Lord. One last thing this morning. Go with me back to the back of the New Testament again, one time if you would, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5, and you'll know this verse well. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. We cast our ways and our works and our burdens, but the scripture says also here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, that we cast our cares upon the Lord. And verse number 7, casting. The word casting, I studied this. The word casting comes from the Greek word that literally means making a deposit. We've got members of our church who are in banking, some who were in banking. You understand this very well. Casting all your cares. The word is the same word the Greeks would use, making a deposit. Depositing your cares. Casting all, look at that, all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. We deposit everything. We cast our cares. The word cares here speaks of troubles. It speaks of matters of concern. It speaks of things which weigh us down. And we have a privilege this year as we dedicate ourselves to this theme. We are committed. Well, among everything else, we will commit to cast our cares upon the Lord. It was January the 17th of 1936. In the town of Clanton, Alabama, there was an Alabama Baptist meeting being held there, and a hymnist by the name of B.B. McKinney was part of that meeting, part of that convention, and he was to be a song leader there. As B.B. McKinney was dining with a friend, a missionary by the name of R.S. Jones, R.S. Jones confided in B.B. McKinney, "I'm not going to be able to go back to Brazil. I've got health matters. My health is beginning to break. And I don't know exactly where I'm going to go after the convention is over." And B.B. McKinney felt the care, the load upon the heart of this missionary. And he said to him, "Well, what are you going to do?" And the missionary, R.S. Jones, said to B.B. McKinney, "I don't know, but wherever he leads, I'll go." Kenny was stricken by those words, and he went back to his home, his hotel room, and before the evening service that night, this is what he wrote: "Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go." And folks, that is the direction of commitment. Amen. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Will you go where he leads in 2024? Church, the only way that God can bless us individually, in our marriages, in our families, in our church, the only way that God can do for us what He desires to do is if we determine that I'll be committed to